The title of my sermon today is Persuaded. Let that just sink in for just a minute. Persuaded. Let me read my scriptures today from Romans. It's the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 38 and 39. I'm trying to figure out whether I need these reading glasses or not. Sometimes they help, sometimes they don't. Now, this is the Apostle Paul as he's speaking to the Romans. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now let me back it back up just a few more scriptures. I want to kind of show you where he's coming from in verse 35. He says, "Who shall separate us?" See, it's what he said first before he got to the point where he says, "I'm persuaded." He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Think about that question that Paul just asked. Who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Or what is going to separate us from the love of Christ? He mentioned these things that we all go through. We all go through situations. The thing you've got to ask yourself, the thing you got to think about is, are you persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ? Paul said, "I am persuaded." What does it mean when Paul says, "I'm persuaded"? It means he's fully convinced. Think about that for a moment. He's fully convinced that nothing, that he cannot be separated from the love of God, no matter what happens. And I'm going to tell you something that really makes me understand this. Everybody suffers something in this life. And I wish I could say, man, you know what, being a Christian, you don't get sick, you don't die, you don't have financial difficulties, everybody loves you, and you know all that, but that's not true. You know, we're Christians and we walk through this life with God. Christ is our Savior and our Lord, and he goes with us and he helps us through situations. Because we live on a sin-filled earth, this earth that is actually cursed by sin, we are subject to things. The question is that I want you to, and I may ask this question, who knows, 100 times before this sermon's over. Maybe not that many. But anyway, are you persuaded? Can you make the statement that Paul said, "I am persuaded that no matter what comes against me in my life, I'm not going to be separated from what I believe, and I believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior"? Nothing's going to separate me from that. You know, if we successfully live a Christian life, we have to make that same statement that Paul made. We got to know that we're persuaded that no matter what happens, God is with us, and that nothing that Paul mentions is going to separate us. Again, we all have cares of life, don't we? We have financial problems. Everybody's had financial problems at some time or another. We have health problems. Sometimes our hearts are broken by friends, family, loved ones. Sometimes our job situation, we wish our job situation was better. Just daily issues that we face. What happened to Paul? What made Paul so convinced? Think about this. What made him so convinced that he said, "I'm persuaded that none of these things can separate me from the love of Christ"? He had a true conversion. Think about that a moment now. He had a true conversion. If you understand, or if you remember the story of Paul, before he was Paul, his name was Saul. And he was a Pharisee. And he wasn't an ignorant man. Bible tells us that he studied under Gamaliel. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but it doesn't matter. He was a teacher, and Paul was educated under him, and he knew the word of God, but he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And he went around, and he persecuted Christians, and he got legal authority to persecute them and take them in, take them to jail, beat them, so on and so forth. And when he was headed to Damascus, he had letters of authority to imprison those who believed in Jesus. He had letters of authority not just to imprison them, but torture them, beat them, put them in the Colosseums with the lions. He had authority to do that. He's on his way to Damascus, and he runs right smack dab into Jesus on that road. Praise God. So much so that he's knocked down, and he hears a voice. And Paul says, "Who is this?" And Jesus tells him, "It is I, it's Jesus, who you have been persecuting." He was struck blind. Paul was struck blind. Went on into the city. The scripture tells us that people led him into the city of Damascus. He was blind for 3 days. He was in the house of Ananias. God sent somebody over there to pray for him, for Paul, and heal his blindness. And from that point on, because Paul had such a powerful experience. See, I'm not talking about an emotional experience. I'm not talking about bawling your eyes out. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I've been to an altar of repentance, and I've had times where I've left plenty of tear stains on the altar. But I'm not talking about just an experience that you just feel like, well, you know, I think I'll go and pray for a little bit. Or I need to change my life. Man, Paul had a powerful conversion, so powerful that he was changed, and God said, you know what, you're no longer Saul. You're no longer that guy who was going around threatening people. From now on, you'll be known as Paul. And God used Paul to spread the gospel all over the world. All over the world. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And that was the purpose of Paul's conversion, was to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what happened to Paul. He ran smack dab into Jesus. He felt and understood what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Those that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And for the first time in Paul's life, he understands and experiences the love of Christ. And he has a mission now. And he takes this mission, and he's just as zealous. Here's what I like about this. He is just as zealous on this mission to spread the gospel of Jesus as he was on his mission to stop the gospel of Jesus being preached. Amen? So he was powerful. He was preaching and teaching and writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're a preacher, I don't know, we got preachers here today. Pastor Avery, Pastor Kane, Pastor Avery over here, Joe. When we preach, we seek for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because none of us want to preach within ourselves, because it would be a mess. So you don't want me to preach what I know and without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's just words. But Paul had the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he was very successful in what he did. But he also experienced a lot of things because of his conversion. And that's what came to a place to where he says, I'm persuaded. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 24 through 27. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, he received 39 stripes, right? He said, thrice, I'm reading out of King James, so it's thrice, which is 3, of course, I was beaten with rods. That sounds painful, doesn't it? Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now let me just ask you something. You want to go through that, anybody? Is there anybody here today that is willing to be beaten with rods? He says, three times I was beaten with rods. They have to understand, Paul was persecuted and beaten and stoned and all these things that he's talking about because he was presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And those who beat him, they didn't want that. They wanted to stop that. And I'm just thinking, you know, about the second time that rod hits me on the back, I'm afraid. Am I going to stand it? Or am I going to say, hold on, stop. I'll just stop preaching. I mean, think about that. When they're throwing stones at you and they're hitting you all over your body, head, everywhere. They're stoning you. You got a group of people and they're all chunking big rocks at you and they're hitting you and they're inflicting pain. And all he has to do to stop it is say, hold on. You're right. I'm not preaching Jesus anymore. That's all he had to do to stop all of that. But see, his conversion with Jesus was so powerful. He had such a powerful experience. And it's the same thing when you converted. Let me tell you something. When you decided to accept Jesus as your Savior and become converted, it's a powerful conversion because you're not the old person. So that's why God gave Saul a new name. He wasn't the same person. You're not the same person before your conversion of faith in Jesus Christ. You're a different person. You talk different. You think different. You act different. Because you've had a powerful conversion and you are now converted in believing that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. Paul suffered these things and he suffered them over and over. And I read through it kind of fast, but you got the idea, all the things that he went through. And he never once said, no, hold on. He took whatever came his way. Man, it just still blows my mind just to think about it. He took whatever came his way and just kept preaching the gospel of Jesus. Again, let me take you to, just to show you some more about Paul. Let me take you to the book of Acts. It'll be chapter 16, 23 to 26. I'm using the old style of just from my Bible. If I put one of those little tablets up here, it'll go dark on me and I'll go crazy trying to make it come back on. Yeah. Now, Paul and Silas in this situation were doing what Paul did. They were preaching the gospel. And they got arrested. And listen as I read. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, again, I want to ask you a question. If you were arrested, put in jail, it said the inner prison, deep into the inner prison. It's dark down there, okay? You're cast into that inner prison. They put stocks and fasten you so you can't even, I guess, get up and wander around. Would you be thinking, Lord, I've been preaching the gospel, and you let this happen to me? Now, I know I'm talking to somebody. I ain't just talking to me. Lord, you let this happen to me. Lord, I was preaching the gospel, and you let this happen to me. I was talking to some of you know Cheryl Pace. Her dad, Brother Thomas, was a pioneer, built churches, powerful man of God. And as he got a little older, he got dementia. And Cheryl told me, she said, you know, I was praying about that because I didn't think it was fair for my dad to have, you know, dementia. And I told God that. Why? Why does he have to have dementia? He's built churches. He served in, he was superintendent of the Pentecost Church of God Southwest District. He was this, he was that, he did this. He was a great man, wonderful God, powerful man of God. Why? She said, God answered me real simply and said, why not? Think about that. Why not? What makes us so special that we think that we're just going to cruise through this Christian life? You know, there's preachers today that'll preach that kind of stuff. There's prosperity preachers that'll teach if you give this, you'll get, you know, $1 million back. I'll just stop right there on that, all right? There's preachers that preach it. You accept Jesus as your Savior, life is a garden of roses, and everything is just wonderful and great. They're false teachers, I'll just tell you right now. She said, when God told her that, she said, it struck me kind of odd. Why not? She said, I got to think about it. You know, yeah, my dad was a great man of God, but he was just a man. I mean, why do I think he shouldn't suffer what other people suffer? And that's what happens sometimes. We find ourselves in a spot to where, why? Why do I have to be in this situation? Lord, I've been faithful to you. Why do I have to be sick? Why do I have to have high blood pressure? Why do I have to have kidney failure? Why do I have to have heart trouble? Why do I have to have this, that? Well, I'll tell you why, because again, I said it earlier, we live in a sinful world, amen? Well, Paul didn't go down there. Him and Silas was locked in jail. They had been beaten already before they were thrown in jail, and they wasn't sitting down there, and they weren't, my daddy used to use this word, it's a funny word. They wasn't sitting down there mully grubbing. That's a funny word, mully grubbing. But they wasn't sitting down there complaining and going on about things. Well, let me read to what they were doing, though. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Wow. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosened. Can you imagine that you've been beaten just for spreading the gospel, just for preaching the gospel, just for going into a town and teaching about Jesus, and you're thrown down into the inner darkest place of the prison, and instead of complaining and crying and why me, Lord, they were praising God. And then they started singing hymns. You know, it's recorded in the scripture, and I didn't think to look it up, but it's recorded that there were times when the disciples felt that they praised God because they were worthy to be beaten for the name of Jesus. Think about that. Can you find yourself there? Let me tell you something. We have got to get to a place in our Christian walk where we can say like Paul, I am persuaded, I am convinced that nothing's going to separate me from this Christian walk. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Because I want to tell you something, whether you're ready or not, there's things coming. I don't know what all's coming. Well, I know a little bit because the Bible tells us some things that are coming. And I believe we are sooner than later on these things. As you look at world events and all the different things that are happening, some of these things that John talked about in Revelation and Daniel talked about in his writings, you're going to find these things are going to happen and we're going to experience them, and it's going to be a great test of our faith. And if you're not persuaded, you may fail the test. Let me tell you something. This test of walking with Jesus, you don't want to fail that one. You don't want to fail that one. There's too much at stake. There's way too much at stake. I just marvel at the fact that Paul and Silas were just praising God, singing hymns after they've been beaten and thrown in jail. It's amazing. So I ask you again, I told you I may ask this question again. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded? I think about all the different things that happened, all the different, as you look at all the apostles, Peter, James, Andrew, Bartholomew, all those, I can't name them all in a row, but, and history or legend, if you will, tells us how they died. And they all died for the cause of Christ. So now I'm going to ask you again, are you persuaded? Would you give up your life? If it came down to a place to where you have to denounce Jesus or save your head, what are you going to do? Are you persuaded? Paul was beheaded in Rome. Peter was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the manner that his Lord and Savior Jesus was. Andrew was crucified. Thomas was speared by four soldiers. Philip was tortured and hung by his ankles upside down. And as he was dying, he continued to preach to his torturers. Matthew was stabbed to death. Bartholomew met his death as a martyr. James was stoned and clubbed to death. Painful death. We're talking painful deaths. We're not talking like they do the people that are sentenced to death nowadays. They put them on a table and give them a sedative and they peacefully go to sleep, you know. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a very painful death that they suffered. Simon was killed for refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. Matthias was burned alive. Anybody ever been burnt real bad? I have had second and third degree burns on my body. Let me tell you something. There's nothing, and I mean nothing, that hurts worse than a burn. John's the only one that actually died of natural causes. However, he was thrown into a boiling pot of oil. Yeah. And then exiled to the island of Patmos, where he's by himself. And that's, of course, where he wrote the book of Revelation. That's something. Luke was hung from an olive tree, and Mark was dragged to death. Are you persuaded? Why did Paul make this statement? Why did these disciples, these apostles, why did they accept being stoned, being beaten, being imprisoned, all the way unto death for a cause? And that cause was Jesus Christ. Why was it so important for them to spread the gospel of Jesus? It's because the world needed the gospel of Jesus to be spread, and God called them to do it. Now, you know, you think back to Peter, you know, when before the Lord was crucified, right? Peter said, "I'll never deny you, Lord." And Jesus, you know the story. Jesus told him, "Yeah, before the rooster, you know, crows three times, you're gonna deny me," and he did. And you look back at all the times where, you know, the disciples, when Jesus was on the ship with them, and there was this big storm, and Jesus come walking across the water, and after, you know, Peter walked on the water, and then afterwards Jesus commanded the wind to stop and the seas to stop, and they were astonished by the fact that even the wind obeys him. What I'm trying to make a point to you is these disciples that knew Christ personally in the flesh, they believed at times, but they didn't fully believe until after his crucifixion and his resurrection. The Bible tells us that he was seen. Jesus, after he was resurrected, was seen by over 500 people after the resurrection. And of course, the disciples seen him. That's when it became crystal clear of who Jesus really was and why it was so important for them to spread the gospel of Jesus. Again, at that point, they had a powerful conversion to where they realized the importance of getting out into the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus so that all man that accepts Jesus Christ can have eternal life. And you think about, okay, what if not? What if you don't become persuaded that much? What if you're just a little bit persuaded? Let me read to you out of John. It's the sixth chapter of John, verse 60 through 66. And Jesus was talking. He was actually preaching in the synagogue. And verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard him say these things, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he says unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given him to him of my Father. From that time, listen to this scripture here real close, please. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Think about that. See, there, you know, as you read the Word of God, and I didn't, you know, I could have had several more scriptures, but I decided, no, you know, you got to have a point to where you, you know, preach a little bit and start reading scriptures, right? But there's scripture that says that at one time Jesus told his 12 that there's, you know, I got 70 others right over here. You know, we think of the 12 disciples, and of course, they're the most prominent, right? But they weren't the only ones that followed Jesus. Jesus told him, hey, I got 70 more right over here. But now he tells us in this scripture that it was just too hard for them to follow Christ. So they followed him no more. They wasn't persuaded, was they? They never got to a place of persuaded. Oh, they may have followed him and enjoyed the good times. You know, the good time gospel, right? And they followed him for the good times, and they followed him for the bread and loaves. I love that song Pastor Avery wrote about just went blank. But it's a good one, take my word for it. It's a good song. That old cross, he died upon that old cross. And in the verse it says the many followed him, you know, for the bread and the loaves. You know, many followed Jesus for what they could receive or get or see. It must have been excited to follow Jesus around and see him lay hands on somebody that's lame and they jump up and start walking or jumping around. It must have been excited to see him lay hands on the blind and the blind can see. And a lot of people followed him for the excitement. And when it came time to live it was like, oh, that's too hard. I'm not persuaded that I can do that. I read, and this just broke my heart, I read that they took a survey of pastors, and 38% of pastors are thinking about leaving the ministry. They're not persuaded. 250 pastors per month are leaving the ministry. That's 3,000 per year. Walking away from the ministry. It became too hard. It wasn't what they thought it was. It wasn't all fun. It wasn't all glory. It was hard. They had to study and preach the gospel. They had to go and visit people in the hospital. They had to pray for people. They had to be concerned over the needs of the church. They had to give their all. Talk to pastors that have been pastoring for a long time, such as Pastor Mylon Avery and Arliss Avery. Let them explain to you and tell them about the things they've went through and how they've had to be available. You know, a long time ago, I had I think most everybody here remembers Patsy and Johnny Merkard, and they was coming to our church here at North Pleasant Hill, and their little girl was about 4 or 5 years old, and she had a high fever, and she called about 4 o'clock in the morning, can you come over and pray for my baby? And let me tell you something, I don't like to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning to me is the time when you're supposed to be asleep. But I got up and I went to their house and I prayed for that baby. You know why? Because I'm persuaded that nothing's going to separate me from the love of Christ and nothing's going to separate me from doing what he called me to do. Amen? So I'm going to ask you again, are you persuaded? If you're going to live a successful Christian life today, you're going to have to be persuaded. Think about it. You're going to have to be persuaded. You're going to have to be to a point, just like Paul. You've seen what happened prior to this statement. See, all the things that I read about and talked about today about Paul and about the disciples, how they died, but in Paul's life, all these beatings and jailings and stoned and beaten with all these things that happened before Paul made that statement. Paul made that statement after all that happened. I am persuaded. So I'm going to leave you as I close this sermon today with that thought and that question. You answer it to yourself. You don't need to answer it to me. Are you truly persuaded that no matter what comes against you, no matter what happens in your life, are you persuaded that you're going to stand firm, continue to walk with Jesus, and gain eternal life?